We work with a lot of women that are all or nothing. They go hard, they need to sweat, they need to be sore or for the workout to count. That is obviously decades of being told that smaller is better and societal pressures.
It's like almost panic mode. And then you jump into the gym and go right to fight zone. No pain, no gain. I'm gonna lose the weight. I'm gonna bust my lazy butt today. You know, it's that kind of like fighting with yourself in the fitness world. In that zone, we are way more prone to pain, both physical pain, but I think even more importantly, mental pain. That's when shame goes on fire because we're upset at ourselves, but also that's where we get injured because we take ourselves too far to the point where our bodies start to break down. We push through the negative pain in that zone.
Welcome to Broads, the bold and badass fitness podcast for women. I'm Tara, and I'm here to empower you to feel strong in your body, confident to take up space, and cultivate the badassery you've been holding back. You're here because you know there's more to life than losing weight and feeling self-conscious in your body, and you're ready to get after it. You may just need some support and guidance along the way. So tune in, stay a while, and I promise I'll be right here alongside you as we figure the shit out together. Because at Broads, we're redefining fitness, confidence, and what it means to be a badass woman. You know that voice in your head that says, go harder or it doesn't count? Yeah, we're shutting her down today. I'm joined by Sadie Lincoln, co-founder of Bar 3, and we are breaking down why the fitness industry has sold women on shame, punishment, and no pain, no gain, and how to replace it with a smarter model, the brave space. We dig into what motivation really means. Spoiler, it's not waiting for willpower. Why modifications are actually performance tools, not downgrades. And how short movement snacks throughout the day can be more powerful than one marathon workout. We also get into wearables without obsession, the practice of coming back to sensation when your inner critic shows up, and why working smarter, not harder, is the ultimate key to strength, longevity, and confidence. Sadie Lincoln is the co-founder and CEO of Bar 3, with over 200 studios worldwide. She's been teaching for 17 years and leading the charge on intentional, mindful, strength-forward training designed by women for women. Sadie Lincoln, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for being here.
I'm so happy to be here.
So I love to start off with a pretty easy question, I would say. Why do you think the fitness industry has conditioned so many women to chase results from a place of self-criticism?
Not easy. That is a big question. And it's the question that I've been, that's like right at the heart of my curiosity and my, I think my purpose in this world is to investigate that. My short answer is it sells. Because it preys on our very basic need to belong. We all want to belong. That's a human condition. And women have been conditioned basically since we were born around a false narrative that in order to belong, we need to live up to an external measure of success that's kind of outside of ourselves. Often that measure of success is linked to a very specific image or kind of ideal around what belonging means. And it's coded. It's not usually belonging, but that's what it really means. What attractive means, what success means, what achieving means, what being attractive means. And that preys on our basic need to want to belong. And because of that, it sells. And it can be a motivator. Shame can be a motivator to exercise, to eat well, to live better. What I have learned in my own sociological study for, geez, probably 30 years now, is that it's short-lived. Shame as a motivator is short-lived. When we learn to be motivated from a place of compassion versus shame, that's long-lived and the results are better. But it's something we need to practice. It's not easy to do.
What do you think about the word motivation?
I think that motivation really starts with each of us being clear on what our why is. You know, our why and where. Like I taught today, bar three. I still teach Tuesday mornings. And actually, it's our 17th birthday today.
Amazing. 17th Congrats. Birthday.
And some of my clients in class have been coming for 17 years. Some of them are hitting their 4,000th class. Do the math on that. It is wild.
Yeah, crazy.
But the theme today was around, where do you want to grow? Move in that direction. And when we move, when we're motivated by answering that question, like, where do I want to grow? It's like a true intrinsic internal motivation. And it also allows us to move in a way that's in integrity with our who we are in that very moment. So for example, when I was teaching today, I was asking questions like, where do you feel sensation in your body? Is that where you want to grow? And if you feel sensations like in your wrists or in your jaw from having a tight jaw or neck, notice that's not where you want to grow. So shift the movement from a different, you know, shift your motivation to move in a different way where you really want to grow. And when you start to do that, you have this healthy relationship with motivation. It's intrinsic. It's about you developing in a way that only you know you need to go and where you need to grow. So yeah, I think the best motivation comes from within.
It's interesting you say that. And I ask everyone on the show, because motivation is a word that people, I think, throw around. It's like, I'm not motivated to work out. I'm not motivated to eat healthy. But yes, the best motivation comes from within. But I feel like a lot of people, a lot of women specifically, can't actually figure out what that is. How do we get women to understand that it is within them, but maybe they haven't found it yet?
I think that the main reason, I know this was true for me, and I've talked to countless women since sharing my story. I think that the reason why we're not motivated when it comes to fitness is we've practiced fitness in a way that feels like a chore. It's a drag. And so who wants to do that? That's not very motivating, yeah. Right? When we learn to move in a way that's in integrity with our bodies and honoring our bodies in the very moment that we're moving, we build a healthy relationship with exercise, a healthy relationship with fitness. And then the motivation, that fuels the motivation. We've all, again, been conditioned to go from like comfort zone to fight zone, like with these phrases like no pain, no gain, right? And because of that, we've learned to literally fight with our bodies when we exercise or conquer our bodies into a different shape. And that creates this neural pathway in our brains and in our bodies around this hurts, this is a chore, this is shame-based. And it's also not where we grow. When we go to that fight zone, that's where we tend to get injured, both physically and mentally. But when we go to what we call, I call brave space, when you step just outside of comfort, where you are pushing yourself, you do feel sensations in your body. It's certainly challenging, but it's in that safe space where you're going to grow in a way that's healthy and that anchors fitness to something that's deeply rewarding. And again, kind of pours gasoline on that motivation fire and creates, it kind of is a flywheel effect around motivation.
Do you think that women have to go through the shame to actually get there?
I think through the shame is the important part of that question. I think avoiding shame, numbing shame, running from shame is not the answer. I think compassionately sitting with shame, and shame comes in all different forms. It comes in doubt. It comes in fear. It comes in the inner critic. And sometimes we don't even know, right, that inner critic tape is rolling. And so I think a really healthy practice is to notice, have a noticing practice when you feel doubt, when you feel that inner critic, when you're not accepting yourself, and just sit with it compassionately. And one of the best things that I've learned, and I learned this through my yoga nidra practice, is to actually notice a sensation in your body in that moment. Like, where do you feel that shame? Is it like tightness in the jaw? Is it like a feeling of being sick in your stomach? Is it like a lump in your throat? And just sit with that feeling for a while, and it will pass. Like, all those feelings pass, and it's human to feel those things, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. No pun, but truly it isn't. We all feel it. It's totally universal.
You know, you've mentioned it a lot, and I know that you have a story with this. So where does shame show up in your life, and how has that shifted the way you show up within your fitness and wellness journey?
Well, that's a good question. Where does shame show up in my life these days?
or just in general, even just in your body, how you were mentioning.
Mm-hmm. I think it's disguised sometimes where I'll imagine, and it's literally my imagination, I'll imagine people talking poorly about me.
Mm.
And it's an imagination. But whether that's me as a leader, me as my various roles in this world, leader, instructor, mother, wife, daughter-in-law. and I like imagine kind of what they're saying about me. That's actually my own inner critic disguised as those people, right? And so that's one area that I've noticed. And I know now to just sit with that and be like, oh, no. You're loved. You are loved. It's okay. You know, you're human. And it's more in that inner voice for me these days rather than in my body. I will say for many years, shame lived in my body.
Hmm.
And how that showed up was chronic low back pain, grinding my teeth at night so much that, you know, I have like muscular stuff going on. My body was just so smart and so wise and giving me clues. And it wasn't until I really learned to move in a way that was healthy and to have a relationship with my body and with fitness that was healthy that I was able to let go of that shame in my body and feel safe in my body again. I think I really created Bar 3 to heal myself. I didn't know I did that, but unconsciously that is one of the reasons I created Bar 3 was to heal that old shame story in my body.
Yeah. Do you feel like the shame for most women, we can kind of generalize this, but I can say for myself and for a lot of my clients is that the shame comes from body image. Mm-hmm. How do you feel like a woman can maybe take out that tie between their self-worth and their body image?
Well, one way to practice it, a very specific tactic to practice, because whatever it is we practice, we become.
Mm.
That is my favorite quote. And I got that right from my friend, Don DePlony, who's a mindfulness teacher. And he was telling me one time when I was complaining about being a distracted mother, he's like, of course you're a distracted mother. You practice being distracted all the time. And you're really good at it. It was such an aha for me that we unconsciously practice things we don't want to become.
Yeah.
And so if we practice that shame story, we become really good at being shameful in our bodies. And one way to break that pattern is while you're moving, while you're exercising, practice being present in sensations in your body in the very moment versus exercising to get somewhere else. Start to notice while you're exercising an inner critic that comes in and then return your awareness back to your body and what you literally feel in your body. That return back to sensation is a practice of being fit on the inside and the inner landscape and trusting your inner landscape. And crowding out the expectation that you need to look a certain way with a rewarding sensation of honoring your inner landscape and what your body is really telling you and what your body really needs. And truly over time you will embody that. I've watched it over and over and over again. It extends beyond the exercise into your life. Everything we do in exercise, I think, mirrors how we show up in the world. If we exercise on purpose with that kind of intentionality. Like one of the things I often say at Bar 3, we often say as instructors is when you modify, it is a practice of figuratively and literally standing up for yourself. And you get really good at standing up for yourself and what your body really, really needs. When you move big, it's a practice of taking up space, you know, and knowing that you belong in that moment. There's lifting a heavy weight and working through that muscle failure is a way to build strength, to feel strong. And I think when we practice exercise on purpose that way, it really does shape other parts of our lives.
I totally agree with that. And I really feel like the way you show up for yourself in your workouts shows up in so many other aspects of your life. And it gives you confidence and self-esteem and self-worth for so many things, right? But I think sometimes women are so focused on specific body parts. So if you're saying something like, if I'm in a Bar 3 class and my legs are shaking, but if I have a really bad body image day with my legs, or I don't like the way my legs look in shorts, maybe that's only the only thing I'm thinking rather than what they're capable of. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that maybe we can help women shift some of that thinking in the moment to not go like totally flip, because we all know that that's hard, but maybe like even a slightly neutral thought or get them to that place of what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a noticing practice. It's as simple as noticing the thought. Like I'm in a squat, my legs are shaking. Oh, good, they're shaking. I need to, you know, conquer my legs and make them look better. I can't stand my legs. I need them to be better, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, there's that thought. And then return to sensation. What do I feel in my body? What is the most telling sensation in my body, right in this moment? And compassionately sit with the sensation in your body. And then the thoughts will come back. And then return to the sensation. And then the thoughts will come back. And then return to the sensation. Because our sensations, whenever you feel something, it is an act of presence and honoring your body. And that practice, I think the key to that practice is trusting. Just trust it. Trust your body, because over time, it really does work. It really does help you feel alive and thriving and compassionate in your body as it is in this very moment. That's what we all really want.
Yeah.
We don't really want to change. Like, I think we all really at the core want to know we are loved. We are loved as we are in that very moment. I think that's the most important thing.
And I love that you said, like, the thoughts will still come and then we can come back and we can go back and forth. And that is what we do in the gym. And so much of your work, I know, is mindset. And what we do in between our ears is just as important, if not more important, than the work that we put into fitness. So for someone new to your work, what is your growth model and how can it reshape the way we show up in our fitness journey?
My growth model philosophically when it comes to exercise, or the growth model of Bar 3 growing?
Your mindset work.
Yeah. So a model that we work with is borrowed by Tom Sellinger, who started it. He was an outdoor enthusiast and created this learning model many years ago. And I've adopted it and modified it for Bar 3. And it goes like this. And I mentioned it. There are three zones that we go in and out of. One of them is the comfort zone when it comes to exercise. And that could be actually exercising, but in autopilot, just kind of, you know, you have your, that term, going through the motions, just going through the motions, kind of on autopilot. Maybe your thoughts are somewhere else and you're just sort of going through the motions. And that can be fine. It's a comfort zone, right? Over time, you won't see change. And so the other elements of comfort zone might be actually avoiding exercise altogether and just kind of numbing ourselves out, you know, scrolling on our phones. Finding other activities that help us avoid even stepping into exercise in the first place. So that's the comfort zone. And I'm going to jump to, and that's kind of in the center, and I'm going to jump to the outside, which is, we call the fight zone. And that's where we go from scrolling to shame, like, oh my God, I'm so gross. I've been sitting on the couch forever. I have to get my ass back in the gym. Oh my God, I'm going now, right? And then you jump into the gym and go right to fight zone. And fight zone is where we go. It's like almost panic mode, but we start to conquer our bodies. No pain, no gain. I'm gonna lose the weight. I'm gonna bust my lazy butt today. You know, it's that kind of like fighting with yourself in the fitness world. In that zone, we are way more prone to pain, both physical pain, but I think even more importantly, mental pain. That's when shame goes on fire, because we're upset at ourselves, but also that's where we get injured, because we take ourselves too far to the point where our bodies start to break down. We push through the negative pain in that zone. So when we're in that zone, or when we're in the comfort zone, the power is noticing when you're in one of those zones and then compassionately stepping into the second gut zone, the most important zone, which is the brave space. In between comfort and fight is the brave space. When we step out of comfort right into that brave space, that's where you actually grow. That's where you change. That's where you start to modify moves based on sensations in your body. That's when you stop copying what everybody else in the room is doing and honor what you need to do. That's when you ask for help and find a guide and an instructor. That's where you surround yourself with community of like-minded folks who think you're just beautiful exactly as you are. That's where you learn to be motivated by curiosity, by compassion, and by courage versus numbing and avoiding or fighting with yourself. And the key is to try to practice noticing when you're in comfort and fight zone compassionately, because we all go there all the time. It's a return. and then stepping back into brave space over and over and over again. Over time, getting into brave space becomes easier and easier and easier and more intuitive. But at first, it is a humbling practice to even notice when you're not in that space where you grow.
What do you feel like, does it look like from an outsider's perspective, the difference between someone who is training for more curiosity and self-trust instead of fear, comparison, jealousy, shame?
What does it look like?
Yeah.
I think it looks all different ways depending on the person, but I think it always looks honest. It's just beautiful. Being honest with yourself.
Yeah.
And really, you can't see what it looks like on the outside. It's all on the inside. I said that in class this morning. I was like, only you know what your honest truth is right now. I can't see it. You have complete agency. And I expect you to step into that place when you're in this room, because you're deserving of that. But yeah, I think it's an invisible honesty.
It's interesting you say that, because everyone goes through different parts of their life, right? I have recently had a pretty big loss in my life. And that's given me such insight on how you really have no idea what someone's going through. You don't know what's going on in their brain. You don't know what's going on in their life. And they really truly have the ability to create the version of themselves they want to show up as today. But sometimes that can be really hard, right? It's like very uncomfortable to show up even as you are yourself. Mm-hmm. And so how can people go through that maybe when they have something big going on in their life? How can they still stay honest and true to themselves?
Well, I think we heal in community. And I think it's so important to courageously get help, raise your hand. And that can take all different forms. It could be just finding a book that really speaks to you, or a podcast like this one that you need to hear, or therapy, or a coach, or a teacher, you know, a guide, a mentor. I think it is so important to lean on wisdom outside of ourselves. I don't think any of us can do this alone. I think it really does require community. And the cool thing is, you get to select those people. Mm-hmm. You get to choose them. I remember many years ago, someone said to me, Sadie, create your own spiritual board of directors. Like, who is the very best person, even if it's someone that you're, you know, like Brené Brown, who I don't actually know, but I think she's one of my board of directors, right? I read her books. I love her principles around leadership. She's on my board of directors, whether she knows it or not, about leading in a way that's brave and courageous and vulnerable. You know, how I mother my executive functioning, fitness. Like, I have different kind of people that I have assigned to support me in what I need in this world to be able to get through those hard times. And each of us have that agency and that ability to do that. I think specifically women, in my observation, have a harder time doing that, because we're giving of ourselves so generously for other people. It's harder for us to, you know, accept that we need that kind of help as well.
I also love that you said Brené Brown, because obviously neither of us know her personally, but she can be a mentor or a board of directors. So if you're someone that maybe is a little bit more introverted, maybe wants to meet these people in real life, but don't have that yet, there are so many incredible resources that Sadie has just mentioned as well, that you can kind of look up and figure out what works best for you. I want to take a quick break from this episode to thank our sponsor, Timeline Nutrition. Here's the deal. Training is stress. It's a good kind of stress, but it still pushes your body hard. Add on top of that work stress, family stress, not sleeping enough, and your system eventually says, nope. That's when recovery drags, you feel wiped out, your workouts start to stall, and your system can only handle so much before it hits a wall. If you've been hitting a plateau or feeling like every workout takes longer to bounce back from, the secret may not be another program. It might be your cells not keeping up. So let's flip that. When your cells are charged up, your body handles stress better, cortisol stays steadier, and you can push harder in the gym without burning out. That's exactly what MitoPure does. It's powered by Erythrin A, the only clinically proven supplement that can transform cellular damage into energy. The science is legit. Studies show it can increase muscle strength by 12% after 16 weeks and speed up recovery after exercise. And here's what I love most. When your cells produce more energy, you don't just train harder, you bounce back faster.
You stop feeling drained from the combo of life stress plus workout stress, and then you actually feel strong enough to push again. For me, these fit perfectly into my routine. They're sugar-free gummies, not another pill to add to the stack, and I actually look forward to taking them. So if you're ready to recharge your batteries, break through plateaus, and finally feel like your body's keeping up with your training, you've got to try these. My friends at Timeline are giving you 20% off MitoPure gummies. Just go to timeline.com/TARA. That's timeline.com/Tara. And see what it feels like when your recovery and strength finally click.
So a slight little change of directions on the fitness side of things. We work with a lot of women that are all or nothing. They go hard, they need to sweat, they need to be sore or for the workout to count. That is obviously decades of being told that smaller is better and societal pressures. But now we know that that mindset can shift over time and that doesn't need to be a factor in why we work out. Can we give some helpful tips on why that change is so great for women?
Well, yeah, I think I'm a high-performing woman, first of all. I'm a 3 on the Enneagram. Do you know the Enneagram?
Yeah, I'm a 7.
Are you a 3 too?
7.
7. Okay, yeah. Adventure seeker. There's nothing wrong with wanting to perform and to achieve and to push yourself to your limits. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing in balance. When I learned as a high performer that I'm going to get better results if I do zero training, if I have days where I am recovering and truly honoring the gentle side of what my body needs, that's when it all clicked. I think the people who muscle through workouts and kind of are stressed and about their workouts are stressed and anxious about getting enough protein, which is really trending right now. Like, people are so stressed about their protein. And we all know you also need fiber. You need, fats and you need carbs too. It's all in balance. And I think when we get pigeonholed and hyper-focused, because high performers do that, it's helpful to know that you will perform better if you open up your view and allow other things in, including rest, including restoring your body. And this is proven, scientifically proven, that we all perform at more optimal levels when we listen in that way and we treat our bodies in a kind way. And we know that that's just as results-oriented, sitting still and breathing, as burpees, right? And HIIT training. Both are amazing. Both are important. They're different flavors. When you go in the ice cream shop, there's a bunch of different flavors. They're different flavors and they're all really important and all really beautiful. Yeah.
What is one industry message that you wish more women would question? I like that you said fiber and fats and carbs and all that. But if there was specifically about fitness, what would you want more women to question?
Oh, I think I would want them to question who the exercise program was designed by and for. That's a big one. This is a huge aha for me before I started Bar 3. So much of fitness products and services to this day are designed by and for super athletes who are literally training for a very specific sport, and we all admire them. And so then we're like, wow, I want to be that badass too, so I'm going to try that routine. It doesn't work for everyday person. It's not functional to train like an elite athlete. Oh, they're amazing and they're training for a reason. It's true with other things too, like ballet or other disciplines or kind of heritages that are, kind of in their own right, beautiful, but not really designed for us everyday people. So there's that. But there's also gender. Mm. Most fitness to this day is designed based on studies on male physiology and not women's physiology. Our physiology as women changes every single month during the menstruation years, obviously during other inflection points like puberty, going through fertility treatments, having babies, post-babies, perimenopause, menopause, which I'm heading towards. Those are all very different physiological needs in each one of those eras that really deserve research and design programs around. And I think it's really important to question when we're excited about a challenge that we see on TikTok, is this really designed for me as a woman, for women, and do I really trust it? And there's more and more out there, including you, Tara, that are doing this for women. And there's plenty of choice. And I'm really excited to see more people in this space talking about this and creating and innovating fitness for women by women.
And also just more studies for women. Like, it's crazy how we just are not studied at all, even though we're so much more complex human beings.
Yeah, it is crazy. It's changing. I'm hopeful. And yeah, I'm really passionate about, yeah, exactly. More data, more studies. It's really neat though. Nowadays, you know, we all have the wearables, not all of us, but actually statistically, most of us. I've done that. And actually our clients are like multiple wearables now, depending on so we are learning more about our own physiology. I think, you know, our awareness of physical health and longevity is higher than it's ever been, which is really amazing and empowering for so many people.
I have a question about the wearables. What do you think about them? Do you feel like it's helpful? Do you feel like it can be obsessive? Do you feel like women need to?
Yes, yes, yes.
All of you, yes.
Yeah. I think it can. I will tell you, when this movement started, I was sort of anti-wearable because I'm really passionate about the mirror inside and just trusting your own body and trusting your sensations and learning to turn your awareness inside, because that's such a beautiful practice. And I've changed my ways. I have a Whoop now. In fact, we have a partnership with Whoop because I appreciate Whoop so much. And the knowledge, and knowledge is power. You know, knowing, you know, when you have a good night's rest, like I learned with my Whoop that unfortunately I don't sleep as well when both dogs are in my room. But then I learned that my new dog, Penny, if she's out of the room, I do sleep well. So I at least can have Sprout in bed with me and my husband. But I learned that through the Whoop, through data from the Whoop, you know, and I didn't really know that beforehand. And that really helped my well-being and my, you know, I will say also in the morning, going through my Whoop stats, crowded out scrolling on my phone on other stuff. That was much more mindful, learning about my own metrics rather than, you know, I don't even know what, looking through reels.
Yeah.
But there's also, some people go, I think maybe a little overboard and are a little obsessed about that and forget the body wisdom part. So, you know, both and.
Yeah. Yes. And, but it's funny you say that about the phone. I feel like we're always, it's like right here, right? It's right next to you at all times. And I think that is a really big piece. If we go back to body image and comparison, and if it's always right in front of you, it's going to be so hard to push those thoughts away. Because then it's going back to what you said of like, I feel this, but my thoughts are this. I feel this, but my thoughts are this. Is there anything that you could give, you know, maybe some tips on if we're in that comparison trap, especially when it comes to social media, scrolling, even friends and family that you see that maybe you're comparing yourself to?
You've got full permission to hide those people on your scroll and unfollow. You have choice. We all have choice. You can choose who you're following, what you're looking at, what you're consuming. It's completely up to you. It's completely up to me, right? Mm-hmm. And a practice of noticing how you feel afterwards, you know, and again, asking, is that really what you want to feed? Is that really where you want to grow? And that feeling, because the more you do it, the more you practice that, the more it's going to become part of who you are. And so it's a big one. There's a great book called The Anxiety Generation. Have you heard of that?
I have. Yeah. I haven't read it yet, but.
Yeah. It's great for parents, but I would say all humans interested in children and what this is doing to children. And I know for me, listening to him on podcasts and really learning about his studies and all that's come out of that has given me a greater awareness of what I'm actually doing to myself, modeling that for my children and the people around me. I think it's really important to be conscious about it and to be vigilant around how we're using our phones and social media.
Yeah. You've mentioned, you know, checking in with yourself or thinking about how you feel after the fact. And so are there any practices that you can help women with physically, mentally, or emotionally that they can then go to before or after things come up? in their life. Like maybe right after they scroll on their phone or right before they're about to talk to a new stranger or someone, you know, some more uncomfortable situations.
Yeah, it's basically what I talked about earlier, a practice of in that moment, ask yourself this question. Ask yourself, what is the most telling sensation in my body? And just answer it, okay? And it could be anything. It could be like this mosquito bite is itching, or a pit in my stomach, or a lump in my throat, or tension in my neck, or sense of ease. You know, whatever it is, just notice the sensation and sit with it and breathe. Let it pass through, and then proceed with purpose. That simple practice of noticing sensations really does ground us in presence and allows us to not start to spiral and create unhealthy patterns. I learned that whole practice in my yoga nidra practice, which is a meditation with my teachers, John Bossler. That's who I've been following. And I found that it's a piece of the meditation that he does every time. But I've figured out how to take that into like snackable moments throughout my day, even in a moment of conflict, like at work, you know, or feeling stressed out. Even just me saying that right now, I felt my stomach kind of feel burning, and just breathing into my stomach, noticing the sensation, and then moving on. It's a way to calm the central nervous system and to clear the mind. And then I find that when I do that, I show up way more authentically. Clear and with boundaries and confidence. And yeah, I don't know. Give that a shot. Simple as that.
Remind me, yoga nidra. I went through yoga teacher training a long time ago, but I think it's like where you kind of like feel your whole body. It's like start with the head and the shoulder. Is that kind of what it's like? Or can you explain a little bit about what that is for people?
Yeah. You, first of all, it's laying down, which is so amazing.
Yeah.
And John always says, get supremely comfortable. Like you lay down into absolute comfort state. You're not sitting up, you know, in lotus pose. It's truly laying down. Your arms are at your side. And then there's a very specific body scan and ritual of breathing, body scan. And it helps you get to a certain level of rest where you are almost asleep, but not. And it's guided. So the whole time you're hearing someone talking, it's not until you get, it becomes a very strong practice. You do it on your own, but most of us do it guided. And it is you find this deeply restful state. And a bunch of it is noticing sensations in the body over and over and over again until you can completely let go and just completely rest. It is a supercharger. I do it at 3 p.m. when I'm starting to, like, my energy levels are starting to go down. I find that it's deeply restorative. If I take a nap, I feel groggy. If I do yoga nidra, I feel absolutely clear and energized. Yeah.
And yeah, I'm a big fan. Yeah, yeah. And there's so many great ones you can listen to if you're listening to this on YouTube and Spotify. Does your teacher have anything that we could potentially?
Yeah, John Bossler, B-O-S-L-E-R. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. And then as far as like your growth mindset model in bar three and just how you show up in your own fitness journey, if someone were to come to you and say, you know, I don't have enough time in the day, or if I only have 30 minutes, like what could like growth-based movement really look like for them that is also both mind and body?
Well, I think having any movement, is how I want to answer that. truly, any movement, just start there. 30 minutes walking, 30 minutes lifting, 30 minutes jumping, 30 minutes swimming, hiking, 30 minutes moving your body is growth, period. I think all fitness is beautiful. All fitness works. The most important thing is to find movement that allows you to get into that brave space where you are growing. And you can stay there in that growth space. Most of us need some kind of guide around that to remind us of that. And that is what we do at Bar 3. So we have 30-minute workouts on our website as an example. We have Bar 3 Signature that combines strength, cardio, and mindfulness. All of our classes infuse mindfulness, whether it's lifting, which we have B3 strength, or cardio, B3 cardio, or B3 mindful flow, which is more about mobility. All three of those infuse this principle of paying attention on purpose, which is mindfulness. But truly, we can do that any day, anytime on our own, just by moving our bodies, doing a dance party in the living room.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm big on, I think you said movement snacks earlier. I've been like on calls all day. I had 20 minutes. I'm like, okay, 20 minutes is still a great movement snack to do. Like I can get something in here. And I think for most people, they're like, okay, well, 20 minutes isn't enough time. But just as Sadie has mentioned, like it could be a dance party. I'm a huge fan of dance break of the day or just getting outside and moving with intention. And I think that's so important and so valuable of what you guys do at Bar 3 is everything is so intentional. And so can you explain a little bit more about like the purpose behind the intention of your classes and how you guys train?
Well, we're on a mission to prove truly that our mindful approach to fitness, to traditional fitness, a mindful approach to traditional fitness transforms women's bodies, lives, and business. Everything we do, you're right, is very, very intentional. From how we cue the body and get you into posture, we start with foundation first. So we start with whatever supporting the body and really getting you in alignment and then working up the different platforms of the body so that when you move, you are feeling the burn and the sensation in the places where we want to grow, like our core, our glutes, our quads, right? And not our knees, our low back, our neck, our ankles, right? And we have a very specific way of cueing that so that you're in the belly of the muscle versus the joints of the body. Mm-hmm. Another very intentional part of Bar 3 is modifications. So in every posture, we celebrate modifications as, again, different flavors of ice cream versus less than. I think a lot of us have been conditioned to think if I modify, I'm not going to get a result, but it's completely the opposite if you do it on purpose. If you modify to move the sensation to where you want to grow, you're going to get better results. So an example of that is I'm on the floor in plank, and I actually have tendonitis in this wrist. So this is a true example for me. I love plank. It's so exciting. I love push-ups on the floor. But when this is acting up, all I'm feeling is the burn in the wrist, which adds, then I get an injury in my left shoulder, like zigzags in my body. So I know as soon as I feel that burn, it's my job to modify and stand up at the bar and do it there. And I can do more there. And I get the benefit of endurance, of mobility in my joints and the strength. And it moves my fitness forward. Versus if I stayed on the floor, I would get injured and I would backtrack. So I think, you know, all of that is intentional. And what you'll see in every single Bar 3 class across our 207 studios. Because it's what we do every day. We train on that. We talk about it. We obsess over it. It's really who we are.
I'm so happy that you mentioned the push-up one specifically. And it relates so much to you and what you're going through in your body, because there's so many women that despise push-ups because they can't do them. But I think because they think that there's only one way to do them, right, on the floor. But you've just mentioned like at an incline, you're getting so much more out of it, right? It's better for your joints. It's better for your body. You can actually get more reps in, which is better for endurance. And so you're actually in that growth mindset, even when you're technically modifying, which is looked at as this worse version, even though it's not. So I like the way you are positioning that to everyone. So that's really cool. I like the way you said that, because I think most women will be like, I hate them. I'm not good at them. But there's so many ways to do things that make it work best for you.
Push-ups are super cool too, because they're so measurable. Like you can do them for a while in one modification and then move to another modification and another modification and start to notice, you know, you can really measure your own progress with push-ups. Mm-hmm. I think it's delightful when I see women building a really healthy, rewarding relationship with a move like a push-up, because it's super empowering, you know, once you figure out how to do it in a way that feels good in your body.
Why do you think modification is like a bad word, or it's a bad connotation to it?
It's that whole thing of like believing this false narrative of a very narrow definition of what achieving looks like or what success looks like. Like it's completely made up.
Yeah.
That success and achieving a push-up is on your toes on the floor with your chest all the way to the ground, right? With, you know, wide shoulders down the back, like the whole thing. That is a version of a push-up, but that is not the definition of success. The definition of success is if you can maintain a long spine and get that mobility. It doesn't matter where you are. You could be on the ground, you could be at a desk, you could be at a ballet bar, you could be at a slight, like you're saying, on the meaty part of the knees. Like all of those versions of the push-up are beneficial and get to the outcome that you want, which is building muscle and mobility and strength in your body. So we've just been conditioned around a narrow ideal when it comes to fitness. And it doesn't serve any of us, not a single one of us. It's a total myth. You mentioned the time thing. That one gets me. I finally unbrainwashed myself around that one. But for so many years, I was like, if it's not 30 minutes and I don't have my heart rate up a certain, you know, beats per minute, it doesn't count. It's not even exercise. That's a complete myth. Like when you study that in a lab, that is wrong. That is not true. It's actually better to get up and move in little small moments throughout the entire day versus crushing it with a 60-minute workout and then sitting all day, you know. But for whatever reason, we all have hooked onto that old definition and it's so hard to unlearn it. But yeah, I think it's super empowering when we finally kind of look at the data and look at the science and realize that, you know, we kind of have it all wrong on that front.
I'm so glad you brought that up too, because a lot of people are like, well, I need 3 hours, three times a week for 60 minutes. And that's what I need. And what you're saying is, I want every woman to hear this, please, every person, but women specifically. If you can get up more throughout the day, every 2 hours for 5 or 10 minutes to just walk or get in some sort of mobility, movement, flow, dance, that is so much more valuable than the 60 minutes in the gym. If you're sitting on your butt all day long.
Yep. It's proven.
I hear that. Yeah.
Proven.
Back on the modification term real fast, I've been an instructor for a really long time. I used to teach HIIT and then strength training, mobility, yoga, all the things. And I remember in class one day, I'm saying the words like, okay, here's how to modify. And someone came up to me after class and they were like, I don't really like when you use that word because it makes me feel like I'm less than. And so can you use the word progressions? And so from then, for a while after that, I was like, okay, you can go here or you can progress incline, decline. And so it was always that like maybe a slight decrease and a slight more advancement just so people felt like they were on their own, on the same playing field.
Yeah.
Because just that term alone makes you feel less than, but you're so right. It isn't, that's not a reality.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fun. It's fun to, I've tried to figure out other words too, but then I was like, no, I'm just redefining the actual word.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at the word and, you know, it's a good word, but yeah, progression, it's a spectrum, right? That's another way to look at it. It's just, where you are on the spectrum.
And honestly, like, and I think, I'm sure you agree with this too, like, I think fitness industry in general lives in black and white, and so much of what I do, what you do is in the gray, and our life is in the gray. It's where we're, maybe it's bright and colorful and maybe it's like a little bit lower, and no matter what, we find ourselves and meet ourselves where we're at. And that I think is so important and so cool about your classes. And what we do is like, we just want to make every woman feel like that they are capable of doing so much. And what we do is through movement. And that's the foundation of making you really believe in yourself and what you can accomplish. So I love your vision. I think it's really great.
I'm so glad we're aligned. It's exciting.
Yeah. So if you could leave women, I mean, we went through a lot today, but if you can leave someone with like, maybe one piece of advice or one mantra that they can repeat to themselves, what do you feel like you would tell them?
What just popped into my head was work smarter, not harder.
Okay.
That's just the first thing that popped in my head because I feel like it's what we've been talking about, you know, working smarter, not harder is in that brave space. It's moving on purpose, not on autopilot, and moving in a way that's not going to cause pain in your body, but also in your mental state.
I love that. Well, thank you, Sadie, so much for being here. Where can people find you? Where can they find your 207 bar studios, probably all over? Tell us more about where we can find you and follow along.
Well, certainly our website, bar3, BARRE3.com. And then we're big on Instagram, pretty much all the channels. Instagram's my favorite, Sadie Lincoln, if you want to chat with me there. I really do answer my DMs whenever possible. But yeah,
amazing.
anybody that's listening in the studio, that's the fullest expression of our brand and community.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here. It was such a great conversation. Appreciate you.
Thank you, and for everything you're doing.